Ah, Ben and Skin listeners, you've heard some sports talk today, but you haven't heard all the sports, if you know what I'm saying. So now, with the rest of the sports, so you can have all the sports, here comes KT Fun Tweets with Around the Sports.
Now let's go around the sports. Yeah. KT Fun Tweets has all the sports. Yeah.
I sure the damn hell do, Ben. And so back in May, Chris Haynes of Yahoo says, "Hey man, it looks like Dwight Powell's going to decline his option, but hey, he's going to try to, like, he'll be a free agent, but he wants to work out a deal with Dallas." Well, after a little bit of time, and this came out today at 11:57 a.m. from Brad Townsend of the Dallas Morning News, the great Brad Townsend, and I'm assuming he was at the Dirk batting practice over in Frisco that Dwight Powell was surely at.
Makes sense.
Brad tweets out this: "Told by reliable source that contrary to Yahoo report last month, Dwight Powell plans to opt in and play for the Mavs at $10.2 million next season and sign an extension after July 5th. No wonder Powell spoke so certainly of remaining a Mav. Has until June 29th to make it official." So Dwight Powell will be opt-in and be with the Mavs for $10.2 million this year. That's what Brad Townsend was told by a reliable source. Tim McMahon came in, confirmed the report.
Oh.
So he got two local guys to
Congrats
one.
Congrats on having a source.
I always called McMahon the big confirmer, kind of like his. So this is so 2 months ago, you thought it was a no-brainer he would opt in, right? He's like, yeah, of course he's going to opt in. He's not going to walk away from $10 million. But also you thought, okay, wait, could something else be at play here? Because they have such a good relationship. It's the kind of deal where you could do some nudge-nudge, wink-wink, and get him to opt out and even renounce his rights and then sign him back at a exception or something like that. But he'll be here a long time. He's the right kind of guy. The Mavericks have seen the growth. And also, I think he's ideal as a big off the bench, but because of the type of the part of the floor that he uses, I think he's fine playing with Porzingis. I wish he was a better rebounder, but he's a good rebounder, but I wish he was a better rebounder because Porzingis is a subpar rebounder. Right now, the Mavericks' best rebounder, quite honestly, is Luka. Maxey to a degree, right? But he is the right kind of guy to be able to play. And I don't know if they're going to go out in the free agency and address other bigs, but if they keep Maxey and they keep Powell, which obviously they are now if he's opting in, and then have Porzingis, that's enough big guys to absorb your big minutes for a normal NBA game.
I feel like Dwight Powell is one of those guys who is one of the best-kept secrets in town. I don't feel like – I mean, obviously you know him. You see him every day. People that follow the Mavericks closely know him, but I don't know that everybody understands what a gem of a human being it is.
Yeah.
Like, that is, I mean, my favorite story about him is the one you were talking about where he kept asking about getting a laptop, and then he never got around to get it, and why didn't he go buy a laptop?
He was just too busy practicing and stuff, man.
And that wasn't...
He was Kawhi Leonarding it up.
He was just too busy working on his game, like a relentless worker, and it wasn't some story he was sharing with everyone. It's just something you got behind the scenes, and I just love that about him. And I had a conversation with him at a charity event one time, and he was telling me about being in college. He went to Stanford, right?
Yep.
And he was like, yeah, we were in a room, and we were all the, you know, some of the better players on the team were in this room. We were talking about how we're all thinking about transferring and how the coach was doing us wrong and da-da-da. And then something clicked, and we looked at each other and said, is it possible that the coach is the problem, or are we the problem? And then they realized they just needed to work harder, and so they shut up and just started trying harder and doing their, you know, it's like, God, will you come meet my kids?
Yeah, he's great.
I mean, just a fantastic human being. I have no problem with him being a part of the Mavericks organization for as long as humanly possible, because I have no doubt in my mind that guy's going to work as hard as he can to be the best he can be, and he's already really, really good.
Yeah, and, you know, I know that one of the quotes was that, and I think I heard the G-Bag Nation say it, he's an analytically great big man. What they're talking about is they're talking about finishing at the rim, points per possession as a role man, some of these types of things. So when they signed the deal for him, It seemed like it was way too expensive. I have subsequently found out that the Mavericks had to offer him that because Brooklyn was going to offer him a big deal. This is, you know, 3 years ago or whatever. So they had to pay him that to keep him. Then, as the basketball economics changed, he was overpaid. And then he got so much better. You know, I want to give credit to him, and I want to give credit to the player development staff, but I want to give a lot of credit to Barea and Devin Harris for teaching him how to be a role guy. Like, they trained him. He'll tell you. And then you look at it, and with the type of production that he gives you, he's now at the right salary for what that kind of player is. So when you already have a guy and he's been in his system and you've seen the kind of guy he is and how hard he works and how he's gotten better, then you know what the investment is. And so if the Mavericks see him and go, not only are we glad he's opted in, but we want to do an extension, they know exactly what they have.
Yeah, like the only type of thing that would only irritate me is if we were for sure lining up and going, okay, clear out space for KD and Clay or something.
Okay,
or KD or Clay, so, or whoever. Like, that's the only way that this move would, like, irritate me a little
bit. And let me tell you, now that he's opted in, they could trade him today.
Yeah.
So I don't think they will, but the whole, you can't trade a guy if he's going to be a free agent. So they couldn't trade him until he opted in. And so now that he's opted in, if they did have a scenario, as much as I just laid out all those reasons they love Dwight Powell, if he was keeping them from Kevin Durant, he would get traded today.
Sure.
And there's any number of teams that would line up for 1 year of $10 million for Dwight Powell. So that's not, at this point, if that's what you wanted to do, he just made it easier on you, but that's not going to happen.
You guys want to talk about the Paul Pierce situation?
Yes.
So we go back in time to game one of the 2008 NBA Finals, where Paul Pierce was helped off the court by his teammates, and then they locked him down in a wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
And the game has been known as Wheelchair Gate.
I always get this confused with when Dwayne Wade was care-flighted out of the arena.
Right, and then came back 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
Well, last night, things got a little weird when Paul Pierce made comments about Wheelchair Gate from 11 years ago, and Shippy has the audio.
11 years ago today, wheelchaired off the floor for reasons he will keep to himself.
I have a confession to make.
Whoa.
I just had to go to a bathroom.
I had to go to the bathroom. But why did you need a wheelchair to get to the bathroom?
It was that bad.
Something went down. I had to go to the bathroom.
Oh.
You were streaking?
Okay. Hey,
all right. So he had to go to the bathroom, right? Okay, that's fine. That's a wild excuse.
Yep.
Well, Jason Concepcion of The Ringer dove in a little bit deeper.
Tell everybody who that is, by the way.
He's the guy at The Ringer. He helped write the Luka song, Hallelujah, right? Is that Gallagher? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I missed that one. Yeah.
He rose to fame on Twitter as the guy that's known as @network.
Oh, okay.
And he's really wickedly funny.
Well, he goes and has posted a picture, which Shippy sent me last night, and I showed you guys at lunch. Guys, Paul Pierce doo-dooed his pants. And there's a picture of him taking a shot, and you see Luke Walton in the background, which is kind of weird. But there's no doubt that right in the booty hole area.
Stop with that terminology.
That Paul Pierce had a stain of brown.
All right.
So the wheelchair was needed to cover up the fact.
It was a poop cover-up.
That he was rocked a deuce. In his pants.
Poop controversy, poop cover-up.
It's now Poopgate.
You know, I feel like if you have to choose between the two things, it would have been a better look for him, something that all of humanity can relate to at some point in your life, that, you know, you were sick, you were just out there, it just happened, whatever, for whatever reason. We don't even need to justify it or try to come up with the explanation. It happened to you. You sharted yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that is a better look than a fake wheelchair ride.
I agree.
Because if the whole story is, hey, you took a ride in a wheelchair and you were totally fine, then it looks like you were a drama queen or king.
Sure.
And you were just trying to play up all the hype and let everybody know how hurt you were, and then you jogged out on the floor and played basketball a little bit later. So it just made all of that look so fake. I think he would have been better off to just own up to it immediately.
And I think the weird part, if I remember correctly, he was in the wheelchair, and I think they put like a coat on his shoulder. I don't even remember. It's just so dramatic. But you guys remember when Krzyzewski, Duke had lost, I believe it was a national championship game, and Krzyzewski went out there after the game and was like, It was so difficult for Bobby Hurley because he had diarrhea, and he just did that on national TV.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so sometimes you don't want to be put on blast.
Well, okay, so is
the blast is the problem.
Yeah.
But is what a question, because this does have another element to it.
Yep.
So commendable what he did last night on the pregame show of the NBA Finals to say, hey, guys, I had to go to the bathroom.
Well, you know why he did that.
Well, hold on. Is it a fair question?
Yes,
is it
fair question.
Commendable?
It's commendable, yes.
All right.
Now, it seemed like everybody on the show already knew the truth, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I don't.
Let me take you to 10 o'clock last night.
Okay.
Paul Pierce's Twitter. Sorry to bust y'all haters' bubble, but the only.
Bubble, but.
Nah, I misdid that whole. I'll start all over here. 3, 2, 1.
Live.
Paul Pierce's Twitter account, 10:02, June 5th, 2019. Sorry to bust y'all haters' bubble, but the only poo emojiing I did June 5th, 2008 was on the Lakers. Hashtag facts. Hashtag haters gonna hate. Hashtag cry emoji. He then denied it after the game last night. He admitted it in the pregame show, then denied it after the game, after numbers of tweets and all that. You know he dealt with crap for the 3 hours of the game.
Interesting wording. Yeah. Paul Pierce has been on one of the worst runs in the history
He's
of broadcasting.
He's having a tough time, man.
You guys, I swear to God, I don't know if you were... Yeah, bad wording on my part. I don't know if you guys saw this.
I mean, I think his history is stained.
After game two of the NBA Finals, the post-game show started with them going to Paul Pierce and him saying that Golden State went on an 18-0 run because Toronto didn't want it bad enough. And that was the extent of his analysis on the NBA's big stage. What he offered.
Did he say if they were trying their hardest?
Well, hey, to be fair, he won Fan Phenom for ABC.
Well, I would say this. He's a long way from mastering the art of broadcasting.
Right,
yes,
right.
Yep. Yeah.
But, like, you look at
He was their number two analyst for a while.
He was? Are you serious? You're full of crap.
Did you say
man.
Analyst?
I said analyst.
Yeah.
Number two?
Yeah, he went number two.
Oh.
You remember who number two works for, right? It was ABC ESPN.
Who does number two work for? Tom Arnold's greatest role, getting beat up by Mike Myers in the bathroom of Austin Powers.
Well, he's not some little squirt. He's a big guy. He's a large, you know, he's big.
I'm just saying, this is a messy situation for him.
It really is. Mm-hmm. It's dirty.
Hopefully he can wipe it from his history and go on to live a good life.
Oh, my God.
You're foaming at the mouth to go to a different topic at this point, aren't you?
Yeah.
I can tell.
Rabies?
He needed to hit the showers.
What song is this?
Man, I wonder what Broadus is doing.
Coming up next
probably
is Broadus
out in the bowels.
Well done.
That was a great drop.
Well done.
Coming up next.
He didn't play a drop of himself.
What does Brian Broadus do when he's in a Paul Pierce situation?